Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the WP Cafe Show. This is episode 66, the show where we talk about WordPress developments, running our little business, etc. So we haven't been here for a while. We have had a bit of a summer break with some holidays, so it's nice to be back chatting about WordPress with me, Matt Wilkinson, and with Keith Devon as well. So if you are joining us live on YouTube, thank you so much. I can see we've got Sam and Exalams. Say hello in the chat. It's always nice to see who we've got listening and where you are. If you've got any questions, we always like to take some questions. And if that, we'll get straight into our list of topics for today. So what have we got today, Keith?
We've got a few things to talk about. Editor style sheet issues, container queries, whether we're going to stop doing custom work, you know, fully product versus project. And of course, there's been some WP drama this week. So I think, should we kick off with WP drama or should we keep people waiting for it? I don't know.
We may as well go with that, I think. Hi, Cameron, and hi, Craig. Thanks for joining us.
Last full day in the UK. I think Cameron is from Australia or New Zealand. So I wonder if they're going back. Let us know, Cam. I can't remember exactly. I've got a hunch. You're from that. Hunch. Yeah, that part of the world. So if you
what's this drama then?
Yeah, if people haven't seen it already, dearie me, I don't even want to go into it in a way. I don't know when this happened exactly. And let's put some big disclaimers in first. I don't know every in and out and detail of this situation. So maybe take what I'm saying with a little pinch of salt. I may get some things wrong, and I'm going to try not to be too opinionated about things I don't know anything about. But from what I've seen, I saw a tweet by John Blackburn a couple of days ago, I think, or yesterday, saying basically, oh my goodness, it looks like WordPress.com has cloned the WordPress.org repo, and some of those pages are now ranking higher than the .org repo. So if you search for certain plugins or whatever, the .com version of that page comes up higher or close to the .org version. And is this a good thing? There's way more to it than that, but that's kind of the start of the conversation.
So I guess question one then is, I was out of office yesterday, so I missed a lot of this. What is the reason for doing that? Why are they creating essentially a clone of the plugin directory on .com when it's already on .org? Do we know what that reason is?
I haven't seen in anything that I've read what the reason is. So
okay.
The drama is that this has happened, but the drama is also how a certain Matt Mullenweg has reacted to some of the criticism of this. And I think, as is quite often the case with WordPress drama, that is the thing that is worse almost than the action in the first place.
That's interesting.
WordPress.com is there to make money, and they now allow people to install plugins and themes on the business level plan of WordPress.com.
Yep.
So my guess is that they want to promote WordPress.com. So they are showing that you can now have all of these plugins on WordPress.com. So they now have a plugin repo, which is the WordPress.org plugin repo pretty much. But I think arguably, and this is where I couldn't find this specific information, but I was talking to someone about this, and they said that there was basically like a list of ideas that people had had to improve the .org directory and the pages. They all didn't happen, and now they've all those ideas have now magically appeared on the .com pages. So again, I don't have the details of that. If someone can correct me, please do. But that's again part of the frustration is that the .org pages weren't particularly good in a number of ways. They were never improved, but the .com version of those pages comes along and they are all singing, all dancing, yeah. much improved. And then on those pages, the main CTA isn't to download a plugin, it is to sign up to WordPress.com. So imagine you're a WordPress.org site owner and you're now Googling for solutions to things and you hear about Gravity Forms and you Google it and you end up on WordPress.com. So you're on WordPress. As far as you know, you've got a WordPress site and you're on WordPress and it says sign up. And you're like, oh, okay, do I have to sign up to this now? I thought I already had a WordPress website. Okay, I'll sign up. Like, as a user experience, that's awful.
I've just looked at one of our plugins, which is on there, and the call to action is get started, which means you're signing up to a
plan. Mark, on that page, does it reference the fact that you may be looking for the .org version of this plugin?
I can't see anything on there that says that, no.
So there's no kind of link back out to the .org
version?
No,
it doesn't appear to be. It's just got the... Yeah, all the links. So it's got tags at the top, and they're linked to wordpress.com/plugin/browse/jobs, because the tag is jobs. And it's got all of the content from the .org plugin readme. It's still got the same banner. This plugin hasn't been tested with the latest. You know, it's got all the same sort of content that the .org version has. But I can't see any link to .org. And then the call to action on the right-hand side is not download. It's just get started, which when I click that, basically takes me to the onboarding form for WordPress.com that says, hey, go here and get started with your account.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very confusing, I think, for users.
Yeah.
I think my question would be then is, if we had decided to do exactly this on a website, would the WordPress.org or WordPress.com or Automatic or someone like that have a problem with it?
I don't think it's so much a question of us. It's because I think we're small fry and we couldn't have made any impact. But
what about WP Engine or Elementor or... I don't know, another hosting company that I can't think of, Kinster, or I don't know, any of those.
Well, I tweeted earlier. Thing. Yeah, I tweeted earlier. Or sorry, I axed. I axed earlier, countdown to Elementor cloning the WordPress plugins repo. Because why wouldn't they now do that?
Yeah, surely, I agree. Why wouldn't they?
Surely that makes perfect sense. And like you say, WP Engine and any other like hosting, like GoDaddy could do it. And I'm assuming GoDaddy have a bit of domain... pull authority, so they might cause problems if they try to. I'm not saying that they are going to do that, definitely not saying that they should do that, but kind of interesting.
Interestingly, I've just looked, because I suddenly thought then the canonical URL might be set to .org, but it's not. That's also set to WordPress.com, so you've got duplicate content as well there, haven't you?
Yeah,
isn't that going to affect both those domains and say, well, it's not going to be good for either domain?
Possibly. I don't think Google's as hot as it thinks it is or wants to be on duplicate content. You know, you see a lot of plagiarized stuff that seems to rank. So I don't know, maybe if it's different enough, it's 10% different, then it counts it as a different page. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, absolutely there should be a canonical URL on that, and absolutely it should be .org. But of course that's not what Matt wants. That's not what Automatic want. They want that traffic. They want that revenue. They want to pull that traffic away from .org. There can't be any... Surely there isn't any question about that, and that's the kind of dick move. You know, people have invested in .org. You know, plugin developers have built plugins for .org. They haven't built them for .com. That wasn't... It's not like it wasn't part of the agreement, because the agreement is actually an open source agreement, and the open source agreement is that they can do whatever they want with it, just like you can do whatever you want with it, and I can do whatever I want with it. But that's not in the spirit of why people have contributed. It's not to make Matt more money, you know. But like I said at the start, it's not even what has been done that is maybe even the main talking point here. I think it probably is. But like, the other talking point is how Matt has again seemed to have just like, I don't want to say lost the plot, but not acted in a manner that I would want someone at his level in our community to be acting.
Quite a few comments about that in the chat here. So Tom says watching Matt is awkward. Sam says, I didn't realize this until you spoke about this today. He's apparently blocked core contributors.
Yeah.
Who I'm not sure whether the one I saw was a core contributor, the marketing lead for
Steve Reed.
6.4, I think. Yeah. It was blocked, which is, well, a little strange, I thought. Almost all of his decisions have been controversial. Not sure about that. There's definitely been some that are controversial.
There's been a lot of controversy.
And then this is an interesting one as well. Cameron says, there's no links back to the plugin author. And I've just been looking at our page. Let me just compare it with the .org version of the page. Because there is definitely not a link back to us, the author. But I just don't know whether there is on the actual page, actually. Yeah, there is. I mean, it's probably worthless in that it's not a followed link or it's not an indexable link. But I'm looking at our WP Broadbean plugin, which is really old, by the way. Don't use it. But it says by Highrise Digital, and the Highrise Digital is a link to our website, whereas on the .com page, it isn't. It links to something that queries plugins by that developer, which is an interesting point. So that's a good point. Some other comments. Tom again, he acts like he cares about us, but he doesn't give a word about us as long as he makes money. Well, he is out to make money. He is a company. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. The methods used might be the ones that are discussable, not necessarily to make a profit. I think that's what everyone's trying to do, aren't they? Don't ask him about revenue or his motivation. You'll get blocked.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have been blocked at this point. I only saw that C-Reed had been blocked.
It's definitely, just judging from the chat here, it's definitely causing some gripe amongst the community for sure. So
I haven't
interesting decision.
I haven't seen anybody publicly back Matt. Nobody. Like, it may have happened. I'm not saying it hasn't. I don't see every tweet and every post, but and the threads that I've read, I haven't seen anybody defending him. A few people saying, is this really that bad? So a few people like saying, well, surely it's better if your plugins are used by more people. Pretty decent argument that. But again, it's how this has happened. It kind of comes out of the blue a little bit. And then it's Matt's response. So John was obviously pretty peed off whenever he wrote his initial tweet. And he actually says in his next tweet, that was a pretty angry tweet at two in the morning. But, you know, I kind of stand by the sentiment. And what's disappointing, and this is what I find that you get with Matt all the time, is that there's never empathy. It's never, oh, I can see how that might look. I can see why you might be a bit annoyed, but it's always defense without any empathy for the community. It's just like, you guys are wrong. This is the bigger picture. That's how I always feel. Like his messaging comes across. Like, I'm right. You're wrong. Get on with it. You know, I've been proved right many times before. I'm the boss. Shut up. Kind of thing. Like, that's how it feels like he communicates with the community. Disappointing.
The chat I saw on Twitter got into the fact of like WordPress.com and WordPress.org and the fact that WordPress.com is called WordPress and, you know, why should it be allowed to be called WordPress? And so it definitely went off on a tangent from just hosting these plugins. But I think that's a debate that's rumbled for a long time, you know, WordPress.com confusing the issue with WordPress.org. And again, if someone else wanted to do that, they wouldn't be allowed to, you know, I assume they would be stopped.
There's an unbelievable tweet. I'm honestly sort of surprised that Matt doesn't delete some of this stuff, like with, you know, once things have cooled down a little bit, but it's still there. It's to Dan Cameron. I don't know really much about Dan, but it appears that he was a plugin developer, author, and he has a bit of a go at Matt. He's basically saying WordPress is being propped up by the wonderful community, kind of despite Matt. He actively does more harm than good by competing against it, and whimpers when pressed by the community he claims to lead. And Matt's response to that is like personal, basically a personal attack on Dan's achievements, basically saying, I've done way more than you ever have. You've basically been an unsuccessful plugin developer. And he ends it with, is that enough whimpering for you? I mean, I just think any kind of CEO of any big company that did this kind of thing would probably be sacked. Yeah. Like, it's just not befitting of his position. And it is like, it's so disappointing. The other thing is, where is Josefa in all of this conversation? Because she's meant to be the .org. Sorry, that's that. She is the .org lead. She is the leader of that project. But where is the leadership in this moment from her? Even if it's to defend Matt's position, but I would have expected Josefa to have addressed this.
I'm a bit too criticizing, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, but that's my point. She doesn't have to criticize, but like to say something in this point feels fitting, given her position. So
I was just looking what her position actually is. It says on Twitter she's WordPress Executive Director.
Right.
I can't find anywhere on the .org side that says
she was. I'm pretty sure her remit was to run .org. It used to be, anyway.
Yeah, if anybody knows and can find a link to that, then let us know. I'd be interested to come. But yeah, if that is the case, then it would be sensible for that to jump in and clarify some stuff, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
For sure.
What's so Matt's Twitter bio is, I just happened to see it. I can think, I can wait, I can fast. So I think he's missing. Maybe he's been fasting too much and his brain isn't working properly, so he can't think or wait anymore. But it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot of thinking or a lot of waiting when it comes to responding to these tweets. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on.
Have you got anything more to say on that, or does anyone else have anything more to say on that? I don't.
No, it's just bizarre. It's just really bizarre. The act of doing, putting the plugin repo on. I mean, when I always think of it, situations, if you reverse the situation, would it be all right? And like I said, if a big hosting company or a big agency or a big, someone else that uses WordPress to sell their services did this very thing, which I think we can agree it's to sell more on WordPress.com, would that be okay? Would Automattic and WordPress.com be quite happy with that? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the answer is they would. Maybe we'll find out soon. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, let's move on. Next on our list of things to chat about is editor style sheets. Now, this relates to a topic that we covered a few weeks ago when WordPress 6.3 came out. There were some changes to the way in which you hook in your style sheets to load in the editor. And the reason for that, if you weren't up to speed with it, which you, no problem if you're not, because there's that much goes on, is that the editor is now iframed in WordPress. So the block editor, when you're editing a post, the actual, not the sort of WordPress nav on the left-hand side, but the editor itself, everything else is an iframe, which has implications for loading style sheets and JavaScript, because they are kind of external to the admin then, if that makes sense. This came up today, wasn't it, with a client who emailed us and said, hey, all of my editor is just looking rubbish. It just doesn't work anymore. We logged in and lo and behold, all of the sites, because they've got a multi-site, all of the editor was kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. What was causing that, Keith? I know you pushed a quick fix this morning, which I know wasn't perfect, but at least it got somewhere.
Well, kind of interestingly, so what I had thought was going to be the problem was using nq_block_editor_assets. So I've preemptively, before this site got updated to 6.3, I changed those where I found them in our theme, and I changed them to nq block assets instead. So I was using that hook instead, which seemed to work whenever I was testing it and stuff. So I was kind of happy enough.
And just to be clear, nq block assets is the recommended hook for enqueuing something, enqueuing assets in the editor for WordPress 6.3 and above.
Yes, but I think there's caveats to that. I think there's something along the lines of if it's loaded in an iframe or not. But we were looking at the documentation earlier, and it wasn't particularly clear, was it? Like, it seemed to kind of, it had me going around in circles. It was like, yeah, but if you're using this, then use this, and it will fall back to that. But don't use that, because then this will happen. I was just like, I am lost. Anyway, yeah. I tried it. But what I had missed in my theme is that I wasn't loading the editor assets that way. I was only loading one of my editor style sheets that way. The way I was loading the actual theme style sheet in the editor was the add theme support function and the add editor style function. I set add theme to support. I added editor styles to that, so it supports editor styles. Yep. And then in add editor style, I added the path to my style sheet, my editor style sheet, which I have. So I wasn't using nq block editor assets at all. And that stopped working. So I'm not sure why, but basically instead of doing it that way, I just enqueued my editor style sheet using the nq block assets hook, and it worked. So it does appear that enqueue block assets works. It appears that it works even if the editor isn't being loaded in an iframe. But it does appear that add editor style is no longer working, or isn't working in the same way that it once did. So it was a bit of a mess, but actually a very clean fix in the end.
Well, that's good. That's good. But yeah, the docs was confusing me as well.
Yeah.
Because it talks about that you had to have certain selectors in your CSS file, which I don't understand what that means. Does it just mean I have to declare them somewhere and not style them necessarily? Does it mean I have to wrap everything in those selectors? Anyway, it's very confusing. But
it was. Sorry, Cameron. There's a good comment here. Cameron says, enqueue block assets is for block assets both in the editor and front end. You can use isAdmin for editor only styles. That's exactly what I've done, except it also runs outside the iframe, so don't style any global elements. So for example, if you just style the generic button or link, like an A,
restyle the admin.
You can start affecting the admin, which is the whole point in the iframe stuff.
I was gonna say, is that why they're separated?
And it just makes it more consistent with the rest of the editing experience. Like, the full site editing stuff is all in iframes and everything, so they're trying to bring everything into the same kind of system, which makes a lot of sense. So yeah, that
So it's a bit confusing. It's confusing me.
Yeah.
But anyway, at least you got a solution for it, which is good.
I think I got it working. So that is good. The other little thing I wanted to touch on was container queries.
Yeah, these sound awesome.
Yeah. They are.
You were describing them to me. They were like, this is like the solution to the things we've been waiting for years. So,
yeah, I have mentioned them before on the show, but a container query is like a kind of viewport width query. Like, so with responsive web design, you say, you look at the viewport width and say, is it 600 pixels? Is it over 600 pixels wide? Then apply these styles. So we've been doing that for years now, ever since kind of responsive design was a thing. Well, container queries are kind of the same, except what the styles are looking at is the container, is a container on the page. And a container is just any div or element that has other divs or elements.
So it's not the device or screen width, It's the width of the thing that is directly outside of what
exactly.
I am, in a sense. My direct container. Yeah.
Yeah. So say you have a person card on your website and it has a photo, a name, a job title, and a little short bio and a link or something like that. Now, you might want that to look different depending on how much space you have. And that space is completely independent of the viewport width, because you might want to drop that module or block into a wide width section of your page or in a tiny column. And the viewport width is always the same. So the typical responsive styling obviously doesn't work. So you have to do things like check if it's within a column at a certain size, and you have to do all this like crazy logic to get that kind of behavior to work, or do something with JavaScript, of course. With container queries, you can say, look at the container. So you can set things as containers in CSS. So my person card element is a container, okay? And then if I have, for example, an inner element, so I've got person card underscore underscore inner, then I can apply container query based sizes to that. So basically it's saying, how big is the container? If it's this size, lay it out in this way. And you can like completely change the layout, like have a new grid layout or flexbox layout. You can do anything. You can do anything you can do with CSS. So you in theory, can then drop that module onto any page anywhere, and it'll always look the way you want it to look when it's at the size. So CSS is amazing.
It is. This sounds like one of those things, though, that there's going to be a but. So if there is, what is it?
I don't know. It's not fully supported yet. It's fully supported across the major browsers. I think on Can I Use, it has about 83% global support. The lag, I think, is like older versions of Safari, iOS, and things like that. All major browsers support it in their newest versions. So yeah, super super cool, and definitely something to play with. And of course, with progressive enhancement, you can still serve something that is
shows
the content. Like yes, the image might be way bigger than you want it to be, or blah blah blah, but it's still there, so you can serve a very basic version to people that don't have access to container queries. But check it out for sure if you haven't. I'd be really interested as well, because you know, we talk about with WordPress and the full site editor and the block editor, and compare it to things like Divi and Elementor, and you know, we've got these like responsive controls. So you click a little tablet icon and then you give it some tablet styles, and how are we going to handle container queries? Because they're the real, like, that's where the power is. So in the block editor, are we going to somehow have access to like container size like queries? I think that'd be pretty cool. I have no idea what a UI would look like for that, but that's kind of what you want.
It doesn't have the concept of mobile styles, does it?
It will
at the moment. It will, but it doesn't at the moment, does it?
I don't think it does. I don't know if that's experimental, but I know a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, I think Elementor does, doesn't it? It has like you said, you click on a phone icon or a tablet icon, and you can put different content, I think, as well, and different styles in as well, which is one way of doing it, put it that way. But cool. Okay, so that's there. They sound really good. Hopefully you'll be able to have a go with those if you've not tried them. And you work with CSS, because they do sound like they'll be answer to a lot of problems. Assuming Absolutely. That your browser support is fine, which, as Keith said, it's probably fine, but certainly worth looking at.
Yeah.
Excellent. Last on the list, unless anybody's got any questions for us about those things or anything else you want to raise, now is the time to stick them in the chat and let us know. The last thing was, should we stop doing custom work? Go for it, Keith. Should we stop doing custom work? This, in a way, we've not stopped doing custom work, but we do an awful lot less of like custom WordPress development work for clients than we've ever done. Do we still support there's about four clients, I think, isn't there, that we really support. So they often come to us with requests for work, requests yeah. for things on the websites. And sometimes, like, even now, we're sort of like, you know, we like, I don't know what the right word is. You sort of like just drop in your seat a bit when something comes in, because it just means you've got to work with WordPress and the editor and all that sort of stuff. But no, I think we still enjoy that to an extent. But like, if someone literally came to us today in the contact form on our website and said, I want to do X with WordPress, I'm not sure we'd say yes anymore.
No.
What do you think?
I think it really depends what it is. I think because we've moved towards the recruitment space, I think if it was another decent recruitment website build and we thought we were a good fit for that project for some reason, I think we would probably take that on.
Yeah.
A generic business WordPress site, I don't think we would do.
No, I don't think we would.
It's not that we can't do it. It's not that we can't do a good job, but I feel...
For me, I'm kind of tired of the process.
Yeah,
and I think
a little bit.
It's got a lot harder recently. Like, for example, more and more clients are questioning prices all the time.
Mm.
That's what I found in the last 6 months. Now, I'm sure that that's partly because of the economic state of play at the moment. You know, everyone's pinching for money, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of it is that you can do a lot of this stuff yourself, or you mm-hmm. can, or there's people out there doing it a lot cheaper, and there's just a lot more competition. So actually, you know, are they right to sort of try and barter down on price? Probably they are. And then you just end up in this game of, you know, deciding on a price. And I'm just tired of that, really, you know. And then,
yeah, we don't want to compete for that kind of work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think that is a decision that we probably have made. I don't know what kind of level it would have to come in at for us to be interested. It's a tricky one. And also the fact that, like, so many people now do have experience with page builders, and so they want to use WordPress, and they know WordPress, but they know Elementor WordPress, or they know Divi WordPress. And so when we build them something with blocks, then there's all the conversations around, well, I used to be able to do that, or I used to be able to do this, or why can't I control this anymore? And all that stuff as well. Like, you try to do things the right way, but it actually turns out to be not what clients actually want necessarily.
Yeah. It's just like no matter how much you try and write in a proposal or a contract or a specifications work, there's always something comes up, isn't there? Like, you know, well, I thought we were going to do this, and it's just, I'm just tired of that dance between.
Yeah, 100%. I don't miss writing proposals. 100%. Yeah. Like, that's just a horrible process. But I mean, on the flip side, so we make it sound like it's all doom and gloom and it's all rosy with products, but it's not all rosy with products.
No.
We've got different problems. lots and lots and lots of support emails, and having to juggle all of that. And
I feel though that. Like, even with support emails that can be frustrating at times, like, you do get to a conclusion quicker. Like,
yeah,
there is a conclusion to this because you're asking for X, and either here's how to do it eventually, and you'll get there eventually. Although that journey might be confusing, or you, what we're offering doesn't do that. So
yeah,
no, we can't do that. You know,
yeah,
there's always two outcomes, and they may be difficult to get to at times with clients, but you do get there, you know what I mean? Whereas some of the custom work is you end up never really getting there, and that's what the frustration is, which is a shame.
Yeah.
XLams has comments, says, at the agency I work at, the number of new website builders has reduced a lot. However, we have a lot more support clients. Interesting. So same as us, really. I wonder, are those support clients, are you supporting websites that you didn't build? I wonder why, if that's the case. I assume that's the case. If you're not building as many websites and you're gaining more support clients, then surely those support clients must already have websites, which is an interesting approach. We've tried that in the past with various degrees of failure. It's very difficult to work with other people's code.
Yes.
Because it's expensive for the client, because you can't, you know, we've got to dig in and work out how it works, which is a tough one. But
I wonder what the general industry trend is. Like, is generally up or down for WordPress-based work. I was chatting with a group of developers this morning, and one is absolutely slammed.
Wow.
With work, and the others weren't. So I find it difficult to get like a gauge of the industry at the minute.
My perception of it, and having spoken to a few people, is that it is lower. It's getting less and it's getting harder and harder to find work. But even in an environment like that, you're always going to get one or two that aren't struggling and everything's wonderful for various reasons.
Yeah.
It might be SEO, you know, they're ranking really well and they get loads of inquiries because of that. Might be because they're the experts in X and therefore they always get inquiries because that's what they do. There's various reasons for it. But I do think today being a WordPress developer is harder and harder and harder than it's ever been. You need to have something that sets you apart from everybody else that someone will want to work you with.
Yeah.
Work with you for, sorry.
I feel like previously the top five in any kind of category, I say five, top five, top 10, top 20 in any kind of category could all be really successful. And now it's just like the top three or so, you know, those numbers are pulled from thin air, but I feel like those people at the top are still doing well, but like it's just disappearing beneath them.
That's interesting.
It's a bit, bit depressing.
We did also promise to update our listeners, viewers, with our support email system. So I suppose we should quickly say that. So for those that don't know, we set up a shared inbox, support at High Rise Digital, and we now use that for all support. It means we can both log in, we can both see the conversations and so forth. For me, that's going really well. It's new, so it's still deciding which emails you need to filter through the support system and which emails you need to still stay in your sort of personal email system. But still really happy with it and better than anything we tried in terms of like products and services to do it with. So thumbs up still on that one, which is good.
Yeah, I agree. It's working really well. Zero complaints and a lot cheaper and a lot easier.
Which is cool.
Paid solution. Yeah.
So I think that wraps us up for this week. Now I'm just having a quick look at the calendar. I think we're kind of back on a normal schedule now after the summer break with summer holidays and days off for kids being off and so forth. So I think we're back on a normal schedule. So we usually are at 1:30 UK time every Friday afternoon. So grab yourself some lunch or after your lunch, get a coffee and come and join us at 1:30 here on YouTube. Or if you're joining us after listening on your podcast, then it'd be great to have you along. If there is anything that you want to chat about or you want us to discuss, we're always looking for topic ideas and things. Obviously, some things lend themselves to discussing, as we've had today. But we're always looking for ideas and things that you might want to chat about, things that you might want to learn from us. Let us know. We're always looking for ideas, so that'd be great. Yeah. As always, if you're not subscribed, which I hope you are by now, please subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. Give this video a like. We will see you next Friday. Same time, same place.
See you then.